I want to talk about little things. Zechariah chapter 4. Who hath despised the day of small things? 4:10. For who hath despised the day of small things? You know, the Lord, He works in small things. We are so big-headed as people. We think big. We look for big things. And many times the Lord God, He passes by the big things and He'll work in these little things. And we miss them. We miss the workings of God because we're looking too high. Who hath despised the day of small things? We'd like to see big things done. But we don't seem to get a hold of those little things like we should. Little things mean a lot. Years ago there used to be a song that people went in and out in the world, and it was went to the top of the hit parade. But it was a sweet little song. Little things mean a lot. Of course, just talking about a boy and a girl. And he opened the door for me. Different things that she was happy that this boy would do for her. Little things. It doesn't take great big things. I know at different times along the way we've had cards given to us. Not great big expensive cards, but little cards with a little, and not a great big long message, but just a little message, just a few words that meant so much. God works little things with little people. I've known of people in my life, in my time, that were little people. I mean, they were just little wisps of people. They were giants in their spirit. I'm thinking about Sister Fern Stubblefield. She used to sit over in our seats here. She's just a little wisp of a woman. Didn't even weigh 100 pounds, I don't think. But that woman was mighty. She works, or God works, I should say, in little things. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And says, 27th verse, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Watch out for the little things. That's where you'll find God working. You overlook them. You're looking up high and He's working down low. That's right. See, Mike, people have a tendency to think big. Big stuff, you know. Start out with airplanes. They keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Start out with cars. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. Now they're kind of getting back down little again. But, you know, people are just big-headed. They just think big. I just shudder sometimes to go in a house and they got a TV sitting there that big. What in the world do they need that for? They're just thinking big. Big price. Big stuff. A lot of big dinners. Big people. Overweight. not satisfied with the little simple food, but got to have something big. Big restaurant. Big churches. I tell you, dear ones, I know this is a nice building, and I thank God for it, but it's too big for me. I just don't like big stuff. It just seemed like all this area right in here is wasted. I'd like to be right down there, right in front of you. But I just seem like I have to come up here. If you like sore thumb sticking out or something. But thank the Lord I got something good. But I like smaller things. I don't like big stuff. Because I see God works in small things. We have in 2 Kings 5, we have the story of Naaman. He was a big man in the world. He was a captain of the king's army, and he was a man of valor. He was a big man. But he had a terrible disease of leprosy. And so there was a little girl. The Lord used the little girl, didn't he? The little girl told his wife, she was a little maid from Israel, said, if he could just get to the prophet in Israel, he would cure him of his leprosy. Well, when Naaman heard about it, his mind went big right quick. Go to the king. He went to the king, and the king sent to the king. The king says, "What are you talking to me for? Am I God?" And then Elisha the prophet told him, he says, "You send him over here to me." Remember the story? He come down there with his chariots and I don't know what all he had, retinue and all this, stood before the door of Elisha. Elisha didn't even come out to see him. Just said, "You go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. You mean go down and dip in that? Didn't say muddy, but I imagine it was muddy. I always pictured Jordan River to be like our Cottonwood Creek. Go down and dip in that river and wash 7 times. And he just recoiled at the idea. He said, "Don't we have rivers back home? I could go and bathe in them." And he turned away in a rage. Mind's too big. Just exalted. Finally, one of his men came to him and said, "If he'd have told you to do some big thing, or great thing, I think maybe was the word he used, wouldn't you have done that? Why don't you just do what he says and go wash and be clean?" And that helped him. You know, we need a little child to come along sometime and give us a thought. He went down and he dipped in that river 7 times like the prophet told him, and he come up with the flesh of what? Little child. Praise the Lord. I love little children. Jesus said in Matthew 18, when his big-minded disciples came to him and said, "Who is great in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, I don't know what all they's thinking about, but you know, people are, they just think big. And Jesus, what did he do? He called a little child. I'd like to think about one of these little boys of Brother Michael here. Just set him right down in the midst and said, "Whosoever shall not humble himself as this little child shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's keeping a lot of people out of the kingdom of heaven. Did you know it? They're just too big in their mind. They don't want to humble themselves. There are people that are so proud and so exalted that they will not humble themselves. And they have a chance. They have a chance to be saved. The book is open like we heard this morning. But I want to tell you, it takes an humble mind to receive it. people are not going to be barred out of heaven because they couldn't. He's just too proud and too exalted and too big-headed to humble themselves to take the lowly way of the saints. God's saints are little people. We find also in that same 18th chapter of Matthew where he says, let no man despise one of these little ones. Take heed that you don't despise one of these little ones. Because he says, the face, their angels, always beholding the face of their Father which is in heaven. See? Little people. And I don't believe he's just talking about the little children physically. It's people that are little in their minds, in their estimation. No one is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven thinking they're so big. The bigger they come, the harder they fall. Did you ever hear that saying? May the Lord help us. We have a story in the account of Marco Polo. He told about the Caliph of Baghdad persecuting the Christians. He despised the Christians. He didn't have any use for them. So he calls them one day and gets them together. And he reads them a passage out of the Bible where Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be removed, and not doubt, you can move the mountain. And he told him, he says, I've got a mountain here I want moved. And he says, I want you to move it. You believe what this says in your Bible? He says, yes, we believe. He says, I want this mountain moved. Well, that put them in a great strain, great heavy burden. So he said, I'll give you a little time to get organized about it. But he says, I want that mountain moved. And I think he set the day and he says, if you don't move it, I'm going to kill all of you. The Caliph of Baghdad told him this. They went into fasting and prayer, begging and pleading God day and night to undertake. And finally, the pastor of the congregation, the Lord revealed to him that there was a one-eyed cobbler. A one-eyed cobbler. A shoeman, a shoemaker, that he would use to pray this prayer of faith. So they began to look for a cobbler. And they finally found him. And he was a one-eyed cobbler. He was a godly man, but he was very small and unknown. Nobody hardly knew him. But he was a godly, strict, holy, righteous person. And they approached him and they said, we need you to pray. And they told him about what was going on. And he said, me? I'm to pray that? Yes. Oh, no, he says, I'm not worthy to do that. They said, you have to. Or we're all going to be killed if you don't come. The Lord showed us that you're the one. Oh, they couldn't hardly get him to move. But they finally persuaded him. And so the day came when they were all to meet out there for this little rise or mountain, I don't know what. And so they all gathered together, all the saints. And the Caliph and all his men were there with their swords. They were going to fly into him and cut him to pieces. They didn't think it was going to work. And so this one-eyed cobbler, the pastor and all his congregation gathered out there. Marco Polo tells about this in his book. If you ever get a chance to read it, you ought to read about it. And they all bowed down and prayed. Caliph and his men were ready to cut him to pieces. And they got up, and this one-eyed cobbler, this simple, humble man, not known, not held up by the world, but despised. He got up after they prayed and he said, "In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I command you to move." And the mountain moved and went out, just went. Most of those men became Christians right on the spot. The caliph never became a public Christian. But whenever they interred him when he died, they found under his clothes, on his breast, a cross. He never persecuted the Christians anymore after that, after this happened. What I want to say that is, it is the people that are despised and low. Psalms 119 says one place. Let's see, I thought, yeah. And 141 said, "I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts." I am small and despised. We have in Ecclesiastes 9:14. An incident said there was a little city and a few people in it. And a great king came against that. And a poor wise man, through his wisdom, delivered that city. And no one remembered that poor wise man. Think about that. And it said, then he goes ahead to say, "The words of the wise are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that rules among thorns, or among fools." It doesn't take anybody big to do the will of God. A little person. Jesus said, Matthew 10:29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And yet not one of them is overlooked, despised. Not one of them falls to the ground without your Father." One sparrow. That's just a little bird, isn't it? I love to watch the birds, the little birds. Little creatures, just, I almost envy them. They have no bills to pay. They have no debts. They have no taxes. They have no, don't have to have a car. Wouldn't that be nice to be a bird? Little bird? Yes. Isaiah 11:6 says, talking about the lion will lay down by the lamb. And it said, "A little child shall lead them." You know, I've got a lot of good out of little children in my life. I've enjoyed them. There's something about a little child that portrays to me something that I want to be. Simplicity. Tenderness. You take people, men and women, they get old, they get hard. They get calloused in their minds. Do anything, say anything, don't bother them. That's not the way the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be little, like little children. One time, in Mark, the 10th chapter, in the 13th verse, we have where mothers brought their little children to Jesus. The little children. I can just see them bringing their little children to the Master. "Master, would you put your hands on my child?" Y'all love your little children. Don't ever despise a little child. They can give you lessons that you need And when the mothers brought these little children to Jesus, the disciples, the big-headed disciples, why? Get these children out of here. The master doesn't have time for children. What did the master say? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. I have a story. I put it on one of the little children's tapes. I don't know if y'all remember it or not. About the little boy and little girl that had an uncle. And they heard the master teach. And they saw what the master could do. And so they wanted to talk to their uncle. He had a withered hand. This is just a story about from the scriptures. And the mother really scolded them about such a thing. You talking to your uncle about that. But they said, Mother, the master could do it. The master could heal him. And finally, they went to meet their uncle coming, and they broke it open to him. They said, we want to take you to the master. No, no, no. No, it can't be. It can't be. Maybe the reason why we don't have faith like we should, we need to have more of like a little child. Childlike faith. Remember how it was when you were little? I remember my childhood. Many wonderful things. Finally, he consented to go with them. The little girl wept and cried. She wanted to see her uncle heal so bad. They got there and they ran into problems and said, no, they said, we don't want these children around here. But they finally got to the master, and the Lord healed the man with the withered, healed their uncle. And there's one thing that he said, oh, the joy of little children. Their minds and their hearts being able to take in the things that we old, crusty, hard-hearted, blinded grown-ups won't be able to take in, but the little children can do it. Oh, may the Lord help us. There was a woman that came to Jesus in the 15th chapter of Matthew. She was a Syrophoenician, Greek. She had a daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. And when she presented herself to the master in the house, he never answered her a word. Finally, the disciple says, why don't you send her away? She's bothering us, crying after us. Jesus said, it is not, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She came and prostrated herself. She came and worshiped. Scripture says worship, but that's what that word means. It means to prostrate yourself. Get down low. And she said, Lord, help me. And then he gave her one more test. You know, it's kind of hard for some people to be despised and looked down on. But here was a woman that didn't matter to her. She was wanting help. Jesus finally said, it isn't meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. How would you like that to have been said to you? She said, that's true. True, Lord. But she said, the dogs can eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You see that littleness? Who would despise the day of small things? Who would have thought that the Lord would deal with a person like that? See, he was testing her out. Bringing her down. Helping her to Come on down. You know, a lot of people would have said, why, very idea. He called me a dog? Why, he just literally called me a dog. Leave that fellow alone. I ain't going to worry a fool with him no more. But that woman had such a need. It's all right. Call me a dog. The dogs will eat the crumbs. The little stuff. The little things. What was it that Lazarus laid at the rich man's gate full of sores? What was Lazarus wanting from the table? Was he wanting a nice big juicy steak? Nice big pizza? All this big stuff people are eating, cramming their stomachs full with it. You know what? That man, all he was wanting was the crumbs. Fell from the rich man's table. I don't know whether he got any or not. Maybe he did. The dogs came along and licked his sores. But a time came when the tables were turned. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and he was buried. Probably had a big funeral for him. A lot of flowery words said. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Lazarus of Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now who's asking for the crumbs? Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. Send Lazarus. Bring me a cup of water. Is that what he said? He didn't ask for a cup. Dip his finger in water and touch my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame. He's not asking for anything big. He didn't get it though, did he? Oh, may the Lord help us today. Did you know that God works in your life in little things? In the 28th chapter of Isaiah, I'd like to turn to this one if you would. In the 28th chapter of Isaiah, in the 9th verse, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. There's another scripture that comes to my mind, Psalms 8. It says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And also that scripture is quoted in the New Testament. I didn't look that up. But whenever the little children were praising the Lord and singing, you know, praising the Lord in the temple, the old big-headed Pharisees, they said, Master, stop these. And Jesus said, well, there's two different things. One place, he said, if these would hold a piece of stone to cry out. But then in the other place, he said, haven't you read in the scripture where that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? So you see, and then another place, Jesus said, I believe it's about in the 10th chapter of Luke, where he says, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast done what? Revealed them unto babes. Now that's not talking about little infants like we have here. That's talking about little people. Humble, lowly, loving, kind, gracious, meek people. He hides these things from the wise and proud and haughty and loud and boisterous. And he hides his truth from them and he reveals it to the lowly, to the humble, to the loving and forgiving, kind and gracious. Now, in Isaiah 28, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now, you know, we kind of like to just get the whole loaf at one time. We think so big. God's going to work this way. He doesn't always do that. Maybe you'll be out working on your yard or working on your job. And you've been praying and asking the Lord to bless your soul and help you about things. And you know what He'll do? Watch it close. He's not going to come with a great big something. But He'll come with a little scripture. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, Brother James? Yeah. With a little scripture. Wow. Just what I need. And it just fills your soul, doesn't it? Just a little thing. Here a little. Then maybe you'll go 2 or 3 days and you'll be a praying, looking to the Lord all the time. And all of a sudden, maybe you just sit down to eat your dinner. And your mind's on the Lord. You see, and all of a sudden, here comes another scripture. Here a little, there a little. Here a little, there a little. That's the way the Lord works. You ministers agree with me, Brother Mac, am I telling it right? It's the truth. You want Him to work big. You want to do big things. Watch for those little things. I've seen miracles. I've seen lots of miracles in my life. But not so many great big things. But a lot of host of little things. Miracles. Like one time when we lived at Springfield, I thought about this. Just a little thing. Just a little prayer. Didn't even have to be a prayer almost. My wife said one day, if I just had one tomato plant. That's all she said. And I don't remember us praying about it or anything, but I remember her saying it. If I just had one tomato plant. Well, I remember her saying it. I don't remember thinking about doing anything because we didn't have any garden space. We didn't have any garden space. We did borrow somebody's garden across the alley one time. But that year, we didn't have anything. We lived in a little old parsonage. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the little parsonage we lived in for several years. One bedroom. All six of us sleeping in that one bedroom. Living room. Kitchen. We did have a nice utility room. But that was our house for several years. We had no garden space, and when she said that, I didn't know where we'd put it. But we did have a little space right off the porch. Now, I'll tell you how big it was. It's probably about as big as, about as wide as this, and kind of square, and it was rounded off. She had rounded it off with some bricks. And one day, I stood out there on my porch one morning, and I looked down, and right in the middle of that little plot was a little bitty tomato plant. Now, how it got there, I don't know. But I want to tell you, that little tomato plant, I have never seen anything like it since. It grew and grew and grew. And grew and spread, and it had tomatoes that big on it. One right after another. Oh, glory. Little things. See? Little things. I could have said, I'm going to go to the store and get some big boys. He gave me some big boys. One right after another. Am I telling the truth, honey? All right. One right after another. Big old tomatoes. We'd have them for dinner. Next day we'd have another. You know how long it bore tomatoes? Clear till frost. And when we knew the frost was coming that night, we pulled the thing up. It was loaded with tomatoes. And took it down, put it in Brother Bud's basement. We still had tomatoes after the frost. Little things. See, watch for the little things. You're looking for the big things. Watch for those little things. That's how God works. Oh, I thank the Lord for the little things. Here a little and there a little. Little scriptures. I've puzzled over things for days and days. Prayed and sought the Lord. And then, you know, all of a sudden, just all of a sudden, maybe unexpected, there's the answer. A little, still, what kind of voice? Small voice. The great God to come down and inhabit a little heart. That's how great He is. It's wonderful. The little things. Jesus had the parable. I didn't get this wrote down, but I thought about it. Jesus had the parable of the mustard seed. Remember that? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown, it is the smallest of all seeds. But when it gets grown, it's the largest of all herbs. And even big enough for the fowls of the heaven to come and lodge in the branches of it. So he starts out with something little. Now, if you want to get in touch with God, watch out for the little things. Little preachers. Yes. God's preachers are just little people. They're not big and important in their own minds. They're just little people. One time, Brother D.S. Warner came to a place, and the young minister, when he saw he was there, he told him, he says, I want you to bring the message this morning. I want you to feel. Oh, he says, Brother, he says, I just got off of this trip. I'm just about played out. He says, I wish you'd go ahead with the message. No, no, he said. The young man says, I ain't going to preach in front of a man like you. Why, Brother Warner says, Brother, I'm just one of God's little ones. That's what he said. And you know, but the brother held him to it, though. He said, no, I, he said, well, he says, you'll have to pray for me. And they said, when he got up, the brother thought, when Brother Warner got up, he thought, I'm afraid I did the wrong thing. Asking him for it. He's looked so weary. He looked like he's just about beat. But he said when he gave out his text, he said, something happened. Something happened. And he preached for 2 hours. It's wonderful. The little things. Little people. Do you think you're a pretty big fella? The Lord's going to tone you down. He'd bring you down. Oh, yes. He knows how to bring you down. I've had big ideas. I remember one time in my ministry, I thought I was going to be like a D.S. Warner. Yes, I thought I'm going to really move things. I'll tell you, when the Lord got through with me, I had a different idea about the whole thing. Lord don't want people that have big, big ideas. You watch for the little things. Now I say, well, now, Brother Leslie, don't you think we need to think big? No. Only think as the Spirit of God wants you to think. He says in Romans 12 and 3, I say unto you, think not above himself how he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we've got to be careful with this big stuff. Proverbs 15 and 16 says, a little with the fear of God is better than great revenues without right. And also Psalms 37 says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than great riches of the wicked. See, a little. Just a little. It doesn't take a whole lot. Jesus was one time in a place, and there was 5,000 people. 5,000 men besides the women and children. So he says, what are we going to do to feed all these people? Philip says, this is John chapter 6. Philip says, 200 pennyworth is not enough to feed all these people and everybody take a little. Well, Jesus says, what do you have? Do have a little boy here with 5 small loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? You know, that would stagger a person's mind right quick, wouldn't it? Jesus says, you give them to me. A little that the righteous man has is better than all the revenues of the wicked. He took those 5 little loaves and those 2 small fishes and he started he blessed them first. He prayed and thanked God for them and asked God to bless, and here they started. I don't know how he did it. I tried to imagine just how he did that. But he ended up feeding everybody there and filling them and then picking up 12 baskets full. Left over. We serve a wonderful God. But notice, he works in the small things. Now then, Proverbs 30. I'll try to wind it up here. 30 and 24 says, there are 4 things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. I'd rather be little and be wise, wouldn't you? The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. I'm going to tell you something else ants will do. They'll be a real pest in your yard. I have to contend with them all the time. They're little bitty things. But I want to tell you, together they do a mighty work. The conies are but feeble folk. Now, come.